Well, good morning to all of you, and welcome to our observance of Veterans Day this morning, as we have our chapel service here at Bethany Lutheran College. There are bulletins available for you that have the hymns that we are singing this morning, which we'll be singing a cappella. So we will begin with our opening hymn, We Praise Thee, O God, Our Redeemer, Creator. Hebrews chapter 2. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. And dear fellow redeemed in Christ, I recently started reading a book with the title, A Hobbit, A Wardrobe, and the Great War. The book is about J.R.R. Tolkien, C.S. Lewis, and their experiences in World War I. The war made a lasting impact on both men. In 1911, Tolkien and three of his friends started a society called the Tea Club and Barrovian Society. Of these four, only Tolkien would return alive from the war. Prior to World War I, progressive thinking, all the rage at the time, looked with great optimism toward the future, predicting the end of the brutal wars of the past, like the century or so ago Napoleonic Wars. They believed in the progress of society of the late 19th and 20th centuries, and could only mean better days ahead with all that positive looking forward that they had, with fewer and far less bloodier wars, if not the end of them all. One example, in 1908, a German author wrote, "The concept of states waging war to the point of absolute exhaustion is beyond the European cultural experience." Another said, "How can we possibly expect to keep alive warlike qualities when all our interests and activities, all our environments, in short, are peace-like?" This was the thinking of many prior to August 1914. But the wars didn't end, and they still don't end. Even when the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918 came, and that war ended 160 years ago, mere decades later, an even more devastating war began. While we in the United States of America have not had the devastation of war in our homeland since the Civil War, We have nevertheless seen men and women of our armed forces leave for war, many never to return. The many names on the pavers around this monument show how war comes so close to so many of us. War brings death. Whether in defeat or victory, there are lives of loved ones ended. Still, many in our country volunteer to serve in the armed forces, including many Christians. It is rightly considered an honorable vocation, a way to serve one's neighbors and country, perhaps with the greatest sacrifice. Luther wrote, "When men write about war and say it is a great plague, it is true. But they should also see how great the plague is that war prevents. If people were good and glad to keep peace, war would be the greatest plague on earth. But what are you going to do with the fact that people will not keep peace, but rob, steal, kill, outrage women and children, and take away property and honor? The small lack of peace called war, or the sword, must set itself as a check against this universal, worldwide lack of peace, before which no one could stand." Today it is good to remember those who serve, to do so in our prayers with encouragement and support, to do what we can if they return burdened with traumatic experiences those of us who have not served may find difficult to understand. The power of death is in the realm of our great enemy, Satan. Our many ways of abandoning God, our selfishness, our idolatry, all of these mean that death is deserved by us all. Not just the death of the body, but of our entire being, body and soul, for eternity. So death brings fear to us all, sometimes more immediately than others. Our nation's warriors tend to have a realistic understanding of what their vocation means, the possibility of seeing death up close, and the possibility of their own. Here in the book of Hebrews is revealed to us why that fear of death has an end. We are all flesh and blood, creatures of the triune God. We have all been given physical, real lives in this world and in these days. The God who created us and all things visible and invisible is the God who has loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus willingly took on our human flesh and blood, becoming one with us. And he willingly took on death, that great and fearsome enemy, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. The death of Jesus defeated the devil, and with that defeat, death itself has no eternal claim on any who believe in Jesus. Instead of that eternal death, there is eternal life for you through faith in Jesus Christ. One of Tolkien's friends, serving on the Western Front, wrote to Tolkien with a sense of foreboding. He said, "May God bless you, my dear John Roland, and may you say the things that I tried to say so long after I am not here to say them, if such be my lot." This friend would die a few days later. The cruelty of war is what the men and women in our armed forces may face. For those who have served, who are serving, and who will serve our country, let us not forget what they were and are willing to sacrifice. It would be wonderful if we didn't have to think about war, or plan for war, or go to war. But war, like death, is the consequence of the sin we have all inherited, a consequence we cannot remove by our own reason or strength. And that is why there is war and a need for warriors. We do not look for a utopia here on earth. We do not expect our elected officials to bring about a time of no more death and no more tears, regardless of any promises they might make. It is not in their power to achieve such a thing, and we are foolish to think that they can. Rather, we must turn our eyes to the God who loves us, who loves all people, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who works still today to save, to forgive through the gospel. Jesus, our Savior, took on our flesh and blood, died as the God-man, and rose to life on the third day. He did this for you. God bless you with confidence in his word of mercy and grace for each of you. In Jesus' name, amen. And let us pray. O Lord, we remember on this day the horrors of war and the mercies of your providence in the past. We thank you for those who have served in our armed forces and the families that have loved them, missed their presence, interceded in prayer for them, and rejoiced in their return. Especially we pray for those families who did not see their loved ones return because they gave their lives in defense of freedom in this land that we love. May we never forget the sacrifices that have been made by these courageous men and women. Lord of the nations, we pray, according to your good and gracious will, that you would grant peace among nations in this time, put into the hearts of rulers and nations the desire to avert bloodshed, strife, and selfishness, and cause all to see the folly of war. You guarantee to all eternal peace in Christ. May your gospel be proclaimed, that the foundation of love may be laid in Christ Jesus, the Prince of Peace. In his name we pray, amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.